Well, hey, welcome back to Mike's Hybrid Radio. I am your host, and today we're discussing the trailer for Transformers 1. This was actually taken from the recording from our upcoming episode of Two Mikes, Two Furious, where we're going to be discussing Transformers Animated Season 2, Episode 7, A Fistful of Energon. It's the one where Prowl goes off on his own to capture the fugitive Starscream, but then find some competition in the form of a familiar Decepticon bounty hunter, and I become a filthy Prowldown shipper. Now, this version of the episode also features more expanded conversations that you won't hear during that episode of Two Mics Proper. We recorded for about 4 hours during that session, and in the end, we decided that we preferred to actually keep it as one episode instead of splitting it up into two like we've done with some of our longer episodes. So as such, a lot of that content just needed to go to get that show to clock in under 3 hours. And you'll be able to hear our discussion on A Fistful of Energon next week. But that podcast will not include any of our conversation about the trailer for Transformers 1. You will be able to hear that here now, and you can also watch the video on the Two Mikes, Two Furious YouTube channel, where you can get a behind-the-scenes look at our recording spaces as we talk about the trailer. But with that, without any further ado, I would like to bring in my Two Mikes, Two Furious co-host, along with a very special guest. Right about now, he's the Spark Soul brother, he's the Transformers Animated Serial Rewatcher, he's my friend, he's author Michael Andrews.
Hey, Mikey, thanks very much. Am I the expert here? Is that where we were going with that?
Can I call you an expert?
You look like I think so.
Me? I'm going to ditch this Michael Andrews guy and start doing a podcast with Kian instead.
I mean, I'll take it. Right in the soft goods. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. The serial rewatcher, I think I said super fan, perhaps. Enthusiast, TFA enthusiast, spreading the good word of Transformers Animated. I wouldn't be doing this project if not for Michael Andrews saying, like, hey Mike, I know you like that Transformers the movie. You really should be watching Transformers Animated, because that's kind of right up your alley.
Right. And I don't typically push shows and movies and content on people. I'm not that guy, but I just thought this series spoke to you, Mike, in particular, just to you know, bring all that back to the table.
Well, a season and a half in, I can confidently say you were right about me. There is still good left in me. You were right. Dies.
Love it.
I mentioned at the end of every episode, hey, you want to be a guest on the show? Send us an email to mikes2furious@gmail.com. Well, guess what? Someone actually took us up on that offer after about a season and a half. I want to read a little bit of a very sweet and nice email that we got from a fan named Abby. And Abby writes, "My name is Abby, and I listened to your podcast through the summer, and I enjoyed the YouTube live stream. See also the Michael Andrews Uncontrollable Birthday live stream," which is...
Don't see your pick.
Can we call that infamous now? It's transcended. I mean, it's really the J. Jonah Jameson. It's like, if he doesn't want to be famous, I'll make him infamous.
Truly.
But Abby writes, I wanted to say that it's been absolute joy having you two talk about my favorite Transformers show, especially since I often have trouble meeting people who enjoy Transformers in general. It feels like a very niche community, but you have made it feel very welcoming and inclusive to all of us. So thank you for that ! And Abby writes, during our hiatus, asked if they can join us for an episode, including the episode we're going to be talking about today. That's going to be obviously A Fistful of Energon. We will discuss that in due course. But then Abby closes closes out by saying again, thank you for reviving a large part of my childhood by reviewing the show. Even if you don't continue the podcast, I hope you two can continue watching together on your own time. Have a great rest of your day! Exclamation point. Best, Abby. And you know, we got this email. I think it was maybe like back in January or something. I mean, we were maybe at like the tail end of our between season hiatus, and I think getting this was actually kind of like an additional shot in the arm of like, okay, well, we know we're coming back for season two, but like, let's really, you know, write down some dates and times and give the people what they want. But I am so excited after so much introduction. Please welcome to the show our third Mike for today, because you are Mike. Abby is here with us. Hey, Abby, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been great so far.
Are you experiencing the meet your heroes syndrome a little bit? I mean, not that we're heroes in any way, but is it like, God, what have I signed up for? Or are you on board?
It's in a way, like last night I was like, oh, I do have this thing tomorrow. And I wrote a lot of notes because I wanted to be prepared. But it's an interesting experience because I've never been on a podcast. I've also just never met anyone quote unquote famous in general. So you guys are kind of like my first people.
Oh, wow.
If you would have me.
We're like a good gateway famous. We're not like real famous. We're like, we'll get you to know somebody who's famous.
Yeah, but that's another thing. It's like, I just don't interact with a ton of people from the Transformers community other than people who are like, you know, I know personally. So this is kind of a really interesting experience. And I thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much. First of all, thank you for the compliments. That's incredibly sweet. Yeah. Like, you know, like, On our kind of rung of Transformers content creation, like it's a low rung on the ladder. Like, you know, I was actually just looking at Twitter.com the other day and seeing like a lot of drama in like the Transformers YouTuber space. And I'm like, I'm glad I don't have that to deal with, because like, you know, as content creators, one of the things that kind of seeps in from time to time is kind of like that imposter syndrome, like, you know, am I good enough to even do this content? And it's there's a level of insecurity that kind of leaks into it as well as a little bit of jealousy, if I'm being completely honest, because like I will see content that in my singular opinion I consider to be garbage or not good. And I will see the amount of views and comments and traction on it. And it does occasionally get under my skin a little bit, but it's a good reminder that regardless of what you're doing, I mean, this is just life advice, not just like content creator advice, but like, just focus on yourself and your friends. Don't worry about what other people are doing. I mean, it's like, and I think that theme is kind of important as we're talking about Transformers Animated, because like, as we've recontextualized in recent episodes, this is a kid's show for kids. So I think taking some of those elementary school lessons and themes is kind of important to keep in adult life, because I mean, like, you know, we all remember, like, you know, teachers or counselors or whoever, like when we were school age, saying like, you know what, just focus on yourself, don't worry about what Billy's doing, or you know, that kind of thing. So like, even as grown-ass adults, it's still good advice, which is part of why TFA has been resonating with me so hard lately. But like, for me, the thing that fills up my gas tank is comments like yours, Abby. Like the, you know, we have a listener feedback section at the end of every show, and like, everybody is just like so nice to us. Like, it's like, I mean, when I was a little unsure about putting our stuff up on YouTube. It just like, I didn't want to, because like there's a weird thing with podcasting in that it is kind of weirdly underground. As mainstream as podcasting has become, even like in COVID times, like, you know, when everybody was listening to podcasting, that there's still a kind of like lower rung to it. Like YouTube is the top of the mountain. And like when you think of like Transformers celebrities, at least in the content creation space, you think of YouTubers, you know, you think of like Chris McFeely or Thew or Piog or Vangelis or, you know, any number of folks that aren't us or any of our friends, you know, that kind of thing. But like, I've taken comfort in knowing that we do good content for our friends, and we've made friends doing this project. I didn't mean to necessarily get into like this whole existential philosophical screed here, but like
taking us to church this morning.
Well, the YouTube drama kind of hit me a little bit. Like I said, some stuff kind of got under my skin. So I'm glad to be here with you folks, because like, this is the stuff that gives me gas.
And I think if I can add it too, I think the important takeaway here is that, you know, if you send us an email, we'll answer. We answer the squeaky wheel. So yeah, thanks, Abby. Thanks for the email and wishes do come true. I don't know. I feel really egotistical saying things.
That's See, that okay.
Next thing you know, now we're gonna start crashing panels at TFCon. Right. And boom, Kool-Aid man. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So switching gears then. So Abby, you had mentioned in your email that, you know, this rekindled some of your fandom for Transformers, and specifically Transformers Animated. Would you like to talk a little bit about kind of basically like your Transformers fandom, like, you know, like what's ground zero, what's that lightning bolt moment that said like, I like Transformers, and basically anything else about your Transformers fandom? The floor is yours.
Yeah, so it's kind of a long story, and it might be a very similar story to other people have that are my age, that are in my generation of liking Transformers. Is that I think essentially what happened was the 2007 live action movie was coming out.
Yes.
And my
go on.
And my dad saw that, and my dad was like, "Oh my gosh, I loved Transformers as a kid. I know all about Transformers." And so I think even before I ever watched the 2007 movie, he bought us the DVD of the first couple of episodes of season one of G1. And they cut it to look like a movie. I think when it initially released, it was like a 3-episode or 4-episode batch. Because they all kind of went into each other.
The pilot is like more than meets the eye. It's 3 parts. And there are some edits where it's you could watch it as one thing, but like, it, because they showed it a few different ways, like, you know, like they showed it like on a Saturday morning as like, you know, all 3 episodes, but then other times they would show it as 3 different episodes.
Yeah, because if you see it on Tubi now, it's like distinct episodes, but I had always watched it with that DVD and being like, no, this is a movie. That was Transformers movie for me. And then my dad was kind of adamant about trying to find it on cable. And as he was looking for it, we had fancy cable where you could record it. So it's pretty crazy. But he saw something coming up called Transformers Animated. And he's like, Transformers Animated? That's probably what I grew up with, because it was, you know, an animated Transformers. And so he records it and we sit down and watch it, and it is. And I think I messed this up. I might have commented that, like, Nature Calls was my first episode. I don't think it was, because when we watched it, it was the first one with Prometheus Black.
Mm.
That's where the spark is, probably, right?
Yeah, Home is Where the Spark Is. And my dad was obviously a little confused because he's like, this wasn't what I grew up with. I was pretty hooked at that point, and it was running presently during that time, because this was like 2007, 2008. And so I'd watch it whenever I could. I'd watch it at my godmother's house. I'd watch it at home. And my brothers were pretty into Transformers at that time too. We would get like the figurines for it. We'd get the toys. We ended up getting like two really complicated Megatron and Optimus ones that were like from the Bayverse movies.
Oh, sure.
He's like, oh, my dad's like, oh, this is for my for your brothers. They could not figure out how to do that. And so it was for my dad. It was for my so it was one thing like our family could pretty much latch onto, which was really nice. And over time it kind of faded. We all watched kind of like the Bayverse trilogy together. And then after the fourth one, I kind of fell out of it a little bit just because I don't know, life.
Yeah, we get it.
Yeah.
Well, and something very real that we run into as Transformers fans, there's always a period in our fandom where we put it down. You know, usually it's like a late adolescence, early adulthood. You know, it's like, you know, time to figure out what I'm going to do with myself, whether it's college or the trades or something. That there's some kind of transition point where it's like, okay, well, let me do some light adulting. Maybe I'll come back to this stuff later.
Yeah. Cause I say like, yeah, after like, I don't even know if I finished Transformers Prime as a kid, but I think like after that, I just started to die out. And so, yeah, I went to college. I finished up, I was finishing up my senior year in college, and I like had intense senioritis, and I don't know, I was looking for like YouTube shorts or something, which is a weird one.
This one does.
Yeah.
Senior year.
I know. I was like, I don't want to do work. and I see this clip, and it's actually from Earthspark, Transformers Earthspark. I'm like, I haven't seen this before. This is weird. And it was like really good animation, like Have you guys watched Earthspark?
Oh, very yes.
Okay. Okay.
Side programming note: we on my other podcast, Mike Seibert Radio, we've done two pretty exhaustive group panel discussions.
Okay.
About like the first 2/3 of season one of Earthspark. Actually just got a message the other day from General Techno saying like, hey man, did we ever do that last batch of episodes? I'm thinking, and Michael Andrews, I'm going to do some light programming while we're here live on a completely different podcast. I think maybe like mid to late May, after the Transformers 40th anniversary movie screenings, that's supposed to have like a preview of season two of Earthspark, I think that would be a good time to revisit some of that material. So maybe like, I don't know, mid to late May or something like that. Might be a good time to reassemble Mike and the Earth Sparkles.
I was going to say, we call it Mike and the Earth Sparkles. That was us.
In brief, Earthspark really resonated with us. And if I could ask, is the clip that you saw, was it the Starscream and Nova Storm versus Megatron and Optimus fight?
Yep.
I mean that is in the top tier of all time Transformers fights, like across any continuity ever. I mean, like it's just so visceral and intense. I mean, like, you know, Megatron uses his fusion cannon as a pile driver. You've got like a bunch of like alt mode stuff. Like, I mean, again, well documented on this show. And actually, even in this episode, like I'm a huge fan of alt mode based combat. Like, you know, if you could use your alt mode for a tactical advantage, it's like, that's to me, that's what Transformers is all about. But I'm sorry, I stomped all over your Earthspark.
No, you're good.
Your spark enthusiasm.
Back to your origin story.
Yes.
Yeah, but that is one thing. Yeah, with Earthspark, I've like, as much as I maybe have died out of Transformers between that time, I always loved motion and animation, and I always liked cartoons and whatnot. So that really resonated with me. I'm like, oh, dang, Transformers is still good. And so I like did some research. I don't think the full season was out yet when I initially watched it. I think just the first half or so. And so I went and watched it. And I was like, wow, it was really good. I'm kind of like wanting more. And I was just looking up Transformers series to watch. And right after that, I was like, I remember I watched animated and I did really like it as a kid. And maybe I should just rewatch it when I have more time. And I think I ended up rewatching it within 3 days. Nice. On top of pieces, which may have been a bad choice, but and the really amazing thing about it is that there were so many episodes that I remember exactly how I felt when I was younger. And it like really made me think. I was like, after all of these years, which at that point it was like 10 plus years, like I'm still having these same emotions watching certain things. And I don't want to spoil anything, but especially season 3.
Oh yeah.
Has like rewatching that was insane for me.
Well, I was going to say, well, first of all, of course we have to be careful of Mike Seibert's sensitive ears, who has never seen this show, but Abby, I wonder
his ears with headphones.
Abby, I wonder if now since you did kind of re-binge the series and did it in such a condensed time frame, if you're having the same kind of reaction that I had when I got a hold of the DVDs and was able to do that of, you know, it's a really, you know, when you're watching it week to week, it's almost like this slapsticky fun episode of the week type thing. And when you get to watch it all at once, there's just a really solid story arc and overall story and all these like, you know, individual character arcs culminating in the finale. I hope, Mike, one day you'll get back and be able to do that once we finish this whole thing, just be able to sit down and watch them more like a, you know, like a long movie or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was wondering if you noticed that too, kind of getting back into it and binging it.
Yeah. Cause that was definitely not the only time I've binged it. I've probably rewatched it a couple times this past year. Cause it is like a comfort show to me. But it is very interesting, especially for that time period of like, I would say just cartoons in general. You know, there is a lot of ones that are just episode by episode basis, but there's snippets in there that where the plot continues. And you can see that in season 1 pretty well, when you're seeing parts of Megatron's body being discovered just as time goes on, or like him getting closer to working up a plan. And again, a lot of those in between episodes are pretty, you know, episodic. You could probably jump to and from, but when you're watching it all at once, you're like, no, they really thought about this. This was a story someone absolutely cared about. It's a lot of, you know, Autobots having fun, but there was definitely a lot of thought and a lot of intent to what gets written into these episodes. And I think I've always appreciated that. And it's something I appreciate a lot more rewatching it now that I'm older.
Absolutely. And I'm still finding stuff every time we sit down to record an episode of this show, not even Easter eggs, but some hint that I missed of something. You know, we talk about foreshadowing on this show all the time, and I'm still catching foreshadowing that, you know, when we get to Auto Boot Camp, we can talk more about it. The fact that that episode got foreshadowed at all right away at the start of season 2, I was like, my mind was freaking blown.
That's another good episode.
Oh, love it.
I'm looking forward to it. That's and it was funny when we started season 2, the sentiment was like, yeah, okay, so you liked season 1. Yeah, you're hooked. Now season 2 is where it really cooks. Like that's what a lot of other fans point to. It's like, "Oh, you've got Fistful of Energon coming up. You got Auto Boot Camp coming up." Like even Marty Eisenberg himself, when I met him at TFCon, he's like, "Oh, you're in for a treat when you get to Auto Boot Camp." So I thought that was especially cool.
And that's not even an episode that he wrote, which is just it even sticks out to him as like, this is the one.
Absolutely. But that is one experience that I have not had with taking on this project, because I'm a first time watcher, but I'm also watching it with a critical analytical eye for this podcast for discussion. So my consumption of Transformers Animated so far, I mean, while I do incredibly enjoy it, it's also been academic in a way. So it's from like an analytical standpoint, as opposed to just watching it. Like, I'm hoping once I get to the end of the series that, yeah, maybe I just wrap myself in a blanket on a Sunday morning and just hit play and just let it run. That sounds like something that would be absolutely delightful, especially now, you know, getting to the end and going all the way back to the beginning, because now I wonder, even now, if there's stuff in season one that, you know, ties back in that, you know, we didn't even think of. And it would be interesting to revisit those podcast episodes too. It's like, again, it reminds me of something that Marty Eisenberg told me at TFCon. He's like, you know, you're so close, but not quite. You know, like, in terms of like some of my takes and notions and perspectives on things. But yeah, it is a really fun series. But I've also the double-edged sword, kind of a rose and a thorn, is like, you know, it kind of threw me off a little bit when Michael Andrews first said that, you know, he's watched the series a number of times. Even Abby, you had just mentioned that now, that like, you know, you've watched the whole series a couple times. And I was like, oh my gosh. But the flip side of it is that one of the things that's delightful about TFA is that there is so precious little of it. You know, like, you could watch all of it, but one of the like existential dread things that I feel about doing this podcast is like, there's only so much. And I feel like with every episode we do, there's that many fewer ahead of us. And like, I think I talked about this in our last episode, but I'm just like I hit a weird spot where I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that. There will come a time where there will be no more Transformers Animated episodes to discuss. I mean, it's not like we're doing like a G1 recap show where like season two is literally like 50 plus episodes. And like, this is like barely 50 episodes end to end for the entire series. So I'm appreciating it while we're here, but there is a part of me that's excited to go all the way back to the beginning.
Yeah, and it's funny because I am not a rewatcher person. I've rewatched like certain Transformers series, like I rewatched Transformers Prime because I don't know if I made it all the way through when I was younger. I liked it. I have no intent of want to rewatch it as much. And that's with a lot of cartoons or a lot of like TV shows, even in general. Like, I'm like, oh, well, no, I've already watched it. Why would I watch it again? Like, I remember it. But I don't know. Transformers Animated has always been a little different, where I have like every once in a while, I'm like, I really want to watch it over, or at least like these like five episodes in a row for a day.
Absolutely.
And I can't even really put my finger on why. But I think, you know, as short as it is, kind of like what you said, there is something satisfying to see a series wrap up. I think there's a lot of shows nowadays that keep trying to go and go and go and go, and at a certain point you kind of lose what you initially had. And as much as I wish, I know there's, and you've probably seen this, but like people being like, oh, what, you know, Trans TFA season four could have been. And I think it would have been really cool to get a fourth season. But I do appreciate that it did wrap up in a way that I could be like, you know what? It was a good series. It had a good run. And I, again, like some show, a lot of shows don't get that. Like the first three seasons are good and then they want to get a season 16 in there. And yeah. Sometimes like, no, just let the story ends. And sometimes it's almost nice to wonder what could have happened. And again, that you can see that in like the TFA fandom, where there's so much art and so much like thought. And I'm not a huge fan fiction person, but I bet there's a lot of stories people have written.
Sure.
Kind of talk about
I'm sure. I'm sure.
I'm a little scared. I get too scared. I'm like, I don't, it's not for me.
Well, you got to be careful, and especially if you're using a work computer going into those archives. So,
but like, you know, there's people, and they, I think sometimes wrapping up allows for more imagination on what could have been, which is sometimes almost more desirable than getting something you're not super satisfied with.
Yeah. And actually, I think that's, you know, I'm going to toot Marty Eisenberg's horn here because I always do, but I think that's a credit to his kind of story editing and overall, you know, watching out for the show as a whole. I think he, you know, there is sort of a hallmark of a great writer, in my opinion, of a TV writer for sure, where you can wrap up a season and you can leave it just open enough that you could do more, but giving enough closure. I mean, cliffhangers are fun, but at some point, there's always a great season finale where it's like, oh, if I never had to watch it again, I'm good. We can put it to rest if we need to. Mm-hmm. I think he makes that balance very well.
Mm-hmm. 1,000,000%. Well, with that, you know, Abby, you had mentioned that, you know, that when you were talking about Earthspark, it's like, oh, Transformers is good. You know, Transformers is good. And the thing that's cool about Transformers as a franchise that I think is a little different than other legacy franchises, like, you know, like Star Wars comes to mind, where it's, you know, kind of locked in one thing. Transformers is always about reinvention, you know, rivaled only by, like, you know, Doctor Who or Power Rangers or Ninja Turtles to certainly to an extent. We have yet another iteration of Transformers coming in time for the 40th anniversary. It feels like we just had a Transformers movie in Rise of the Beast, but, like, you know, less than a year after, or just over a year after, we have Transformers 1 coming out this September, which just feels crazy because, like, I feel like Rise of the Beast is still kind of like crystallized in my mind somewhere. You know, we've still got Earthspark, you know, our chat about animated. It's like, and it's fascinating that there are so many different iterations and versions. But we wanted to spend some time talking about the trailer drop for Transformers 1, because, like, you know, a few folks have kind of asked us, you know, kind of what our take is, given kind of our unique viewpoint on TFA. But I guess, you know, just to kind of open up the floor, I mean, I guess before I bring in my big brain conspiracy theory, kind of like, what are our overall thoughts? Let's start with Michael Andrews.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. I'm optimistic about all iterations of Transformers when I first see them. I try to be the hype guy for all new Transformers. But yeah, I think it looks cool. And I also felt comfortable, I guess, sharing this trailer with, like, my coworkers and casual fans, because I found it was something that they would get excited about. And I think that's what's going to be great about Transformers 1 is it does sort of feel, I don't want to say reboot in a negative way, but it does sort of feel like a jumping on point for everyone all over again. And I think I'm really excited about that prospect of, I haven't felt that really since, like, the 2007 live action movie, where, like, all my friends got into it, regardless of whether or not they cared about Transformers. And I was getting, you know, DMs and texts and people talking about, you know, asking me my thoughts on it. And it was just so cool. And I guess if I can add one thing to it, I just watched, I was tweeting about this, but I just watched the Transformers Night episode of The Masked Singer.
Oh, sure.
And it was, I've never watched an episode of that show before, but it was all themed around the Transformers live action series. And just watching those people get so hyped and so pumped, that's their Optimus. That's their Bumblebee, right? They don't know that any other form of Transformers exists, but when they see that giant red semi-truck with the flames on the side come out, they are on their feet screaming. And I think Transformers 1 has the potential to do that again.
Absolutely. How about you, Abby? What were some of your thoughts?
I loved the trailer. I kind of got blindsided because I knew the trailer, like, I was seeing, like, the promotional images for it. Sure. And then one day I woke up and, like, they're like, yeah, the trailer's out. And I was like, oh, I was not paying attention.
Just a side note, I had the exact same thing happen. You'd think I'd know. Didn't see it coming at all.
Yeah. And I kind of agree where it seems like it could be a really good opening for newer fans. Because in a way, like, Transformers has always started at a certain point and then has backtracked to, oh, this was Optimus Prime before he was Optimus Prime. This is, you know, it's always been kind of a backtrack. And this is interesting because it just starts. It's like, no, we'll start at the beginning. We'll start at the first time. And I think in a way, like, it almost makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people have been happy that we're seeing a Cybertron. You know, as much as I always liked, you know, the Transformers being on Earth, I do like that human Autobot interaction, which is controversial for some people.
Yeah. We are pro-humans on the show.
Nice. But I did enjoy Cyberverse as well, which doesn't have a lot of time on Earth or doesn't have much human interaction, because they made the world so intriguing. And this Cybertron looks beautiful.
Mm.
And like on a technical level, like I think the aesthetic of the movie is very nice. It's not too bright, it's not too dark. They let people be colorful. And then yeah, the world building looks just purely amazing.
It's gorgeous. Yeah.
It looks so cool. I mean, like I love a terraformed Cybertron that looks like a synthwave album. I'm here for that in a big bad way. Like, you know, as soon as I started seeing, like, you know, lush greenery, but then like vibrant pinks, I'm just like, I'm here for this. I got to experience the trailer a little differently than you guys. Like I woke up, literally woke up like the day the trailer dropped, about 5 minutes before the trailer actually dropped. I had seen something earlier where it's like, oh man, Transformers 1 is going to be the first trailer drop from space. I don't know if you'd from space, but basically they put up a weather balloon that just basically kind of like roamed the countryside for an hour as it rised higher up above the Earth. So by the time it actually got to trailer drop time, which somebody like miscalculated the time zones, because like I think it was supposed to drop at like 7 central and it ended up dropping at like 7 Pacific or something like that, which is fine because that's right about the time I got up. But anyway, like I don't know about y'all, but like the first thing I do, it's a rotten habit, but like the first thing I do when I wake up is I grab my phone. So it's like I'm just like, you know, doom scrolling, and I see that like the countdown is still happening. There's like 4 minutes left on this, and I go to watch this thing from space, and my phone freezes up. So I'm just like, and by the time I did more doom scrolling, the official Paramount channels had actually dropped the full trailer. So I watched it that way. And I was immediately taken by the animation style. It feels like the best of DreamWorks in a good way. Like, you know, it's got like in a very approachable, colorful, vibrant style that I think is appealing to all ages. And I like to use all ages as an inclusive term, not as a slur like a lot of other grumps do. But more than that, this movie is for kids. And I say that again with a welcoming tone, because much like Wu-Tang, Transformers is for the children. And I think 40 years on, I think starting with a origin story, because that's contemporary storytelling anymore. Everything is an origin story. So I'm not necessarily mad about that. I think that's the way to go. I know a lot of G1ers are kind of sour on the recontextualization of, like, you know, Optimus and Megatron's first meeting and stuff. Like, I don't know how long it's been since y'all watched War Dawn, but like, it's fine. You know, like, so like a lot of folks are pointing to like the G1 origins, or even like the stuff they did in the IDW comics, which is all good, But the thing that none of those are is approachable for a younger audience. Like, I mean, I saw War Dawn when I was a kid. So, I mean, so, you know, kind of contradicting myself a little bit, but like, I like that. I like the tone of it. And I like that it's an inclusive cast. I love that Alita gets such a spotlight. Like, I think the, you know, we talked about like that Earthspark clip. I think the other thing that gives the fandom the tingles is that Alita transformation sequence where it's like she's a motorcycle and then does like this bitchin' flip kick and then kicks up the rifle and starts like mowing Viacons down. I mean,
my Buzz Lightyear wings pop open and my jaw drops. Yeah.
absolutely. It's so cool. But yeah, no, I think I'm eager to go watch it. I'm eager to go watch it with like younger members of my family. I might find some like nieces and nephews to take with me, which I didn't feel that compulsion for Rise of the Beast. Like, because I felt like that movie was more for me and mine. This is for the next generation. And I feel like 40 years on, that's something important for Transformers to do. And it's still in theme with constant reinvention, even if it is retconning some old origin stories. Cares.
Yeah, I was wondering too as I watched it, I wonder if we're gonna have a generation of kids kind of having the sort of Anakin Darth Vader thing that they get out of Clone Wars going to you know the original trilogy of I wonder if there's gonna be some hearts broken when they find out what Megatron becomes.
I hope so. And I don't mean that because like for the children, but no, it's like that is one of the beautiful things about the Clone Wars arc is that there's a generation of kids who Anakin is a hero to, and he never was for me. He was always the crusty old white dude underneath the mask that was redeemed at the end of the saga. So like, you know, I even remember when they were announcing Clone Wars stuff or even the prequels. I'm just like, why do you want to make this guy a good guy? That doesn't make any sense to me. But like what I didn't see then that I certainly see now is that there's value in that, in having an entire generation to have their heroes and to have it even more heartbreaking and heart wrenching to see where they go. Like it's sad that Anakin succumbs to the dark side and becomes Darth Vader. And from the very little that we gleaned from the trailer, it's going to be a heartbreaker once D16 brands the Decepticon badge onto himself. It's like, I think it's meant to be like a really tragic moment. Also, shout out to the voice cast. Like, I think everybody sounds great. Like, I like what Chris Hemsworth is doing with Orion. There are moments in the trailer where it does get downright Cullen-esque though. You know, like he's like, we are one. And I'm like, I feel like he's really trying to put it in there. I get the feeling that's going to be like the closing line of the movie, like right before they smash cut to Linkin Park or something. Like I can imagine.
Well, I can only hope.
Orion Pax now formed as Optimus Prime, or even like an early version of Optimus Prime, like gives a very like 2007-esque end to the movie. He's like, and he like declares it. He's like, my name is Optimus Prime. And, you know, I send this message to it. And again, you know, we are one. Title drop, Linkin Park, let's go. You know, that kind of thing. I also especially like Brian Tyree Henry. Like I think I really enjoy his performance in Atlanta, if you guys haven't seen that. He's also really good in the Spider-Verse movies. One of his vocal affects, like he does this in Spider-Verse. Like he's the master of the heavy sigh. Like he has a very distinctive heavy sigh where it's like he uses like his entire face and mouth to punctuate it. Where it's like when I heard it in Spider-Verse, where he's just like, And it's like, I'm like, oh, that's from Atlanta. Oh my gosh, it's the same thing. I really hope we get one of those from D16. But like
a mega sigh, if you will.
I think so. I because like it's nobody sells exasperated much like Miles Morales' dad. So I hope we get some of that. Scarlett Johansson sounds great as Alita. I think that is a terrific choice, leans some credibility. Now, I would also say though, I'm not without criticism. I'm not super into Keegan-Michael Key's performances, B-127, you know, the proto Bumblebee. I think it's a little try hard for my personal taste. I also think that this is a guy that should be in movie jail. Like I saw Wonka last year and I thought that performance was way too much also for my taste. So if I had anything negative to say about the trailer, it would be that. Like, and I don't know if we need to be doing some light swears talking about Bad Acetron in a kids focused movie. Like, what's the rating on this going to be? Is it going to be PG? Is it going to be PG-13? If it's going to be PG-13, are we going to start dropping S-bombs? Are people going to start saying shit like they do in Marvel movies? I don't know. It's like that was one thing that kind of off put me just a little bit of like, maybe this isn't as kid friendly, family friendly as maybe I had initially thought.
Sure. I can see that. I would have said the same thing 6 months ago. I was not the biggest Keegan-Michael Key fan, but then I saw the Apple show. Oh gosh, sorry, it's escaping me. Schmid. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
No.
I have to cut all this out.
You'll find it, and then I'll cut it there.
Schmigadoon. It's an Apple TV show. It's sort of like a play on, old 50s musical movies. It's sort of this surreal fantasy comedy. It's a Lorne Michaels produced thing, and he plays a very like reserved version of himself for how big, and it's a musical, like it's a comedy musical. He could go way over the top, and he doesn't. He actually plays like kind of the straight man of the whole thing. So now that I've seen kind of his acting chops, I'm excited for his take on Bumblebee. And I'll also add, I busted a gut at the end of that trailer when the whole thing where he like sliced up that room and then he like threatens the guards. I was laughing so hard at that. I was like, all right, we're home.
Yeah. I'd almost say for Alita and B, their voice direction kind of reminds me of Earthspark in a bit, especially Alita. Like,
yeah.
I saw that, I was like, this kind of almost feels like Earthspark Alita, which she hasn't been in much, I guess, but that's what I got. And then it kind of, the voice direction of B is similar. And again, I think it's going to take some getting used to.
Yeah.
Again, when I saw Chris Hemsworth, I got scared, because I just hadn't heard his voice acting. I was very impressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are interested in, Brian Tyree Henry's more serious tone that he might, if we get to a Megatron in this movie. That's the interesting thing about this movie. I don't know how it's going to end.
Right.
Because I don't know where in the plot line they're wanting to cut it, or if they're wanting to make it, you know, like a trilogy or something. Because we do get that one cut of Megatron, but is that something that happens in the future, or are we going to get to that at the end of the movie? It's kind of an interesting thought.
Yeah, or is it even like a Mortis kind of premonition from, you know, Vector Sigma or something, and they don't even know what it means to them? Like, that might not be like actual footage.
True. Oh,
like a flash forward.
Yeah.
In like the Netflix War for Cybertron, like you see like Nemesis Prime, you know, that kind of thing. It's like it's a flash, it's a vision. Or even like when you first see Galvatron, it's a flash, that kind of thing. So yeah, so you see Megatron's eyes and you see the brand of the Decepticon badge. And I love that's we're keeping with that heavy metal theme, that like a Decepticon badge is something that's branded onto you as opposed to etched on, like say like an Autobot badge. But like, yeah, no, I think you guys could be spot on that, like, maybe these are flash forwards and maybe these characters don't end up where we think. And that would be kind of a subversion of expectations as well. I think I think that would be very interesting. You know, we had talked a little bit about where we think the movie is going to end. And I think now's as good a time as any for my a crackpot theory, which I don't know if I truly believe this, but I think I want to throw this out there for the sake of it.
You want to stir the crackpot, as it
yes, for for the lulls, as they say. But, like, you know, in the trailer, you see a number of blink and you miss it cameos, including like Starscream and Shockwave and Soundwave, looking boxy as ever. I like that. You know, where Earthspark Soundwave was rocking that divorced dad body, we're just back to boxy dad bod Soundwave. All leg, though. It's like, it's the legs never end on this dude. But but also you see a silhouette of a spider lady. And when I was watching this on my phone, you know, my phone is relatively small, you know, for watching a trailer, and I was still rubbing the sleep out of my eyes. So I saw the terraformed planet and I saw a spider lady and I saw two dudes, one of which is Optimus Prime, being buddies. And I took a screen grab of the spider lady emerging from the from a pink synthwave cloud. And I just tweeted something to the effect from the Two Mics account saying, like, wait a sec. Well, hang on. Young Optimus, young Alita, organic planet, spider lady? Like, no, they wouldn't, would they? And that kind of caught medium fire a lot. It's like, wait a second. But there is a part of me that I don't know if I want this, but there's a part of me that thinks that could happen, because you need to have something to have that division between Orion and D16. And in this one, maybe Megatron plays the Sentinel role. Incidentally, I think Sentinel's in this movie. Like, he's getting hassled by some Quintessons. There's a very blue dude with a very large chin getting handled by some very squiddy-looking Quintessons at one point. I don't know if things are going to go good for your dude, Michael Andrews. Sorry. But, but anyway, it's like, so I thought for a quick second, if it's an aspect of the Along Came a Spider story where it's like, maybe something happens to Alita, maybe, and not even realizing that the organic planet is Cybertron itself. And also not realizing that this is very likely Arachnid and not Black Arachnia. But
I would say Abby and I, as Transformers Prime watchers, probably clocked Arachnid right away.
Right, yeah. Whereas I just see Spider Lady, and I'm just like, oh, okay. Oh, wait a sec. There's a different Spider Lady with a very similar name. But anyway, I just thought I would toss that out there as a just a bizarre observation. Like, maybe there is aspect of the Along Came a Spider story where, again, hopefully, I hope that doesn't happen, because I already like this version of Alita, and I would really prefer nothing like that happens.
Yeah, I think right. Well, I would say, regardless of whether how crackpot your theory is or not, I think there is definitely some connective DNA here with Along Came a Spider episode of Transformers Animated, because those visuals and just the organic nature and even the setup of, you know, outside of the fact that Bumblebee's there, that setup, it's like, we've seen that. That was for a Transformers Animated fan, that was built in already.
Yeah.
And I think somebody had even said, like, you know, pointing to the way the trailer opens with Orion and D16 in trouble, basically. And it's like, that's how they get in trouble. And I'm just like, no, stop it. Don't encourage me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, yeah, because something would have to cause that rift. And we've seen within the context of Transformers Animated, from what we've seen so far, is that that's driven a wedge between Optimus and Sentinel. Now, Sentinel hasn't gone on to, you know, found his own robot revolution and do like, you know, do some light genocide, but like, still.
I do think one more thing on that too. I really think it's interesting that like, you know, Optimus in Transformers 1 almost comes off like the Sentinel of Along Came a Spider, right? Like we're seeing a little twist on sort of Megatron is the straight man here, and Optimus wants to get in trouble a little bit. Whereas in Along Came a Spider, Optimus was the goody good and was, you know, reluctantly dragged along and was there for history purposes. And, you know, we should get back to our studies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess the big question is, does Alita 1 survive this movie? Because she has a kind of a bad track record.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, we'll see. Our pal Alita is probably on the edge of her seat already.
Absolutely. And I hope this is the one that breaks the trend. And so to kind of cap off a little bit, you know, something Abby, you had mentioned earlier, like, kind of it feeling similar to Earthspark. And I wonder, the big question is what continuity does this walk up to? Does this walk up to any continuity? Is it something new? Like there was something in my head that rang that like this very well could butt up against Earthspark from a certain point of view in terms of like the way that these characters are, because we've seen a few things. I mean, I think the biggest clue for me is Alita, because that's almost the same character. And like you had said, Abby, also, it's like there's a little tether to Keegan-Michael Key's B-127, to Danny Pudi's Bumblebee. Like, I really like that iteration of Bumblebee because it feels like it's G-1B grown up. Yes. or even TFAB to an extent. Like it feels like adult Bumblebee, where it's like, you know, he's cheerful and earnest, but he's also seen some shit and yes. He's grown up and he's an adult now, and I really like that character trait. But but also in Megatron, like, you know, if you have a ghost friendly Megatron, does that call back to the friendship that they had when they were young? That could be interesting as well. So yeah, a lot of narrative taffy to chew on. I don't think it can or will butt up against G1, because quite frankly, they already have an origin. So this has got to be something different than G1. And I think that's just fine. I've been seeing a lot of discourse out of like G1er spaces that I'm sure you could all predict that people are not happy, saying like, you know, it's a spit in the face, a slap in the face, a slap in the spit in the face of the fans. It's like, ew, too many face analogies for my taking. Gross. But like, I don't know. It's like, I don't want to see the same stuff. Like, I've seen the same stuff. Like, I'm going to go to a movie theater in the middle of May to watch More Than Meets the Eye parts 1, 2, and 3. It's like that's, you know, nobody's taking away that media from me. So it's like, let's have something different. Like, do you really want to have like a rehash of like the IDW comics? That's what makes the comic special. It's something different. I don't know. Like, I don't entirely understand the conservative mentality of let's have everything just be the same.
I agree. I'm also a slight like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan, and they get the exact same thing where it's a little less iterations.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, oh, the new movie came out last year and there was so much backlash, and it was a great movie. And I think everyone who watched it had a pretty good time. And there was like a 2018 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That is one of my favorites because it's animated wonderfully. And they're, but so many people dismissed it because it was new and it wasn't what they were used to. And I always feel just awful for new media that comes out in a series that's trying to do a new thing. Which thankfully in a lot of spaces, I think in Transformers, there have been people who are like, TF1 looks awesome. It's doing a new thing. And maybe that's just what I try to be in for the most part.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm gonna step away. But yeah, it is always disheartening to be like, to see people being like, oh, this is going to be bad. I already know it. It's like, you watched 2 minutes of it in a trailer.
Yeah. And I think to add my third kind of related take, if anyone's been following my Twitter lately, I've been really on a rant about this of just like this weird world where it's become journalism to just hate on something the minute it comes out and just destroy it and rip it apart. And it's so sad that like that's better for clicks and ratings and the algorithm to just have this like horribly, you know, negative take on something. And I just think that's like tearing us apart here as a society.
Yeah. And on like a production level too, that can impact like how many seasons a series gets, because kind of going away from Transformers,
we never do that here on this show.
I watched it's Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which aired in 2018, and it got extreme backlash before it even came out, and it ended up getting cut heavily short because many people didn't give it a chance. And now that we're a couple years out, there's so many people who have come out and being like, I didn't give this show a chance. I'm so sorry. Cause it's, you know, again, people who are YouTube content creators who initially were like, yeah, it's not worth my time. And then them coming back out and they'd be like, I was wrong and I am sorry. Yeah, it was nice absolutely. For them to admit, but it's like, yeah, you can usher people away by giving them bad publicity, and it can affect how a show or a movie turns out in retrospect, which is really scary.
Yeah, well, and we've seen that with responses to other Transformers media. Like I feel like, as beloved as it is, I feel like Transformers Prime is a response to the backlash against Transformers Animated. In a way.
Yeah, I could see that.
And then
ironically, it went too dark for kids programming and then got cut short a little bit. I mean, sure, there was like budget constraints too, but at some point in season 3 of Transformers Prime, like it was just adults watching and it was like dark, heavy topics. And yeah,
too much. I mean, like, you know, we've talked about what the future of this podcast is, and Prime has been tossed out there. And quite frankly, I mean, I know it's good, but I don't like for this level of analyzation. It just doesn't appeal to me because, quite frankly, it's not very fun. So, but that's
false.
I agree. And some people get really mad, but I do think, I will say, sometimes Prime fans are very similar to G1 fans in the sense that it has to be that way. And anything that deviates, because I hear a bunch of stuff with Earthspark all the time. It's like, this Megatron isn't Prime Megatron. I'm like, yeah, he's not meant to be. They're different characters.
Abby, you're blowing my friggin' mind right now because but in a good way, because like I think I've been sort of like I'm sort of like an anti G1er a little bit, even though I am one technically. I've always kind of been that mentality, but I never thought of myself as like this primer, I guess, if I can coin a new phrase. I always compare everything to TF Prime. I even did it with Transformers 1. Someone was talking about Earthspark in relation to Transformers 1 and how good the animation fights, you know. I was like, yeah, but you know, it's still no Transformers Prime, and it probably is. It's probably better, but I think I'm hanging on to Transformers Prime in the way that G1ers are hanging on to G1. And I think you've just awoken something inside me that I need to analyze here. Thank you.
It's fair to have like a something you base things off of, because again, like if you think about it, like everything goes back to G1. That was the originator. And for a lot of the Transformers audience who got introduced to the movies, Transformers Prime was the first thing remotely close to that in a series. So that was a lot of the people's first introductions as well. And so obviously you're going to latch on to your first introduction. I do it with animated, and I catch myself sometimes where I'm like, it's not fun enough. It's not with, like, you know, but I'm like, well, it's different. It's totally different. And I think it's okay for people to have reference points. But when every criticism is, it's not this specific series, it gets a little graining.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, and the thing to always keep in mind, and this was kind of what I was alluding to earlier with Transformers and its 40-year history, is that with every iteration, some iteration is somebody's G1. Something is somebody's first step into the franchise, and I'm excited that Transformers 1 is potentially a entire generation's first introduction to these characters. I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, that's just me. Shall we talk about an episode?
We should. We should probably get to that. I'm going to clap the clapboard here really quick.
And you will be able to catch the episode in question. That's Transformers Animated Season 2, Episode 7 of Fistful of Energon, dropping next Friday, May 3rd, when Two Mics, Two Furious returns. And with that, I think that will wrap things up for this episode of Mike's Cyber Radio. Thank you so much for hanging out with us and for making us a part of your day. We greatly appreciate it. And make sure you're subscribed to Mike's Cyber Radio and Two Mics, Two Furious on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. Like, share, rate, and review the show. Let us know what you like and what you'd like to hear more of in the future. For my guests, the Spark Soul brother, Michael Andrews, and Abby, my name is Mike. This has been Mike's Abbott Radio, and until next time, tell all our one, make good choices. Mike's Abbott Radio is recorded in Seattle, Washington. Our original theme song is written and performed by Lucia Fasano. Get her music on all streaming platforms like Spotify and Apple Music, and check out her Instagram at Lucia_Fasano. Our closing theme is A Nice Place to Visit by These Young Fools, used with permission from Michael Geisler. For more music like it, check out Michael's website, mytourmusic.com. Special thanks to Andy Lita for our logos and graphic design. He is at GoGoAndyRobo out on Twitter. Become a Mike Cybertronian and join the MSRP Friends and Fans Facebook group. And you can follow me on social media at Mike Cybert Radio on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Blue Sky. And check out my YouTube channel for even more videos and live streams. Want to be a guest on the show? Shoot me an email, MikeCybertRadio@gmail.com.